Blog Talk Radio.
Sexualized
So persons live within the contradiction. Persons live within the contradiction of society itself. And so persons are faced with a formidable hypocrisy. It is what one writer long ago called doublethink. Doublethink. Living out one reality while attempting to affirm another. This is indeed doublethink. And so the individual is tossed into a quagmire of confusion and contradiction. And so then to you, the case for the biblical documents and their teaching. Now I know we have persons across the spectrum who have been involved in affairs or who have cheated. And so this transcends spectrums or titles. Indeed, this goes to the very heart of who we are and who we were designed to be. God designed the relationship between Ish and Isha. That is Adam and the Isha, that is his wife. This is classical biblical theology. Now, let me see at this point that in the scriptures, yes, there was the Adam, but one will not find the name Eve in the Old Testament. Her name was not Eve. She was called Isha. And so I'm going to begin in Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to take a look at the original relationship. And we will not be considering the DSM, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Human Behavior, because it is a politically driven document. It is politically driven. The biblical documents, however, on the other hand, are not politically driven documents. They address the most fundamental nature of man and his needs, and that is to have a relationship with the living God. Unless a finite point has an infinite reference point, it is meaningless and absurd. So we're going to look at that as we consider from the pages of both the Old Testament and the New Testament how one must address human relationships, particularly one in which one individual has given his or her heart to another individual. And I do mean has given his or her heart. When we talk about heartbreak and heartbreaking, this is the most profound tearing asunder of the heart that can occur when one has been cheated on in a relationship. It is a tearing of the heart. It is a rending of the being of another. This is profound ontology that creates a profound existential rift within the heart of the one who has been betrayed. If you have friends who have recently gone through this, or if you have friends who suffered this long ago, and they may still be talking about what happened in the past, this evidence tells us how deep this is and how long these things can remain in the heart, because it is a type of, it is a very profound emotion, and very profound thoughts are developed around this thing. So I'm going to begin with Genesis. Well, I'm going to read a few verses from Genesis chapter 1, then we'll move to chapter 2. This is Genesis 1:26. then God said, let us make man in our image and our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Now, I would like to draw your attention to the fact that in this, in verses 26 and 27, where God talks about the creation of man, he uses, in verse 26, he uses the Hebrew verb asah. And asah is a verb that which means to make. In chapter 1, when God began, earlier in chapter 1, when God began his creative activity of the heaven and the earth, God uses the word is bara, bereshith bara Elohim. And bara is a verb only used of God as subject. And it never connoted that what God's creative activity was accompanied by a material from which something is formed or made. So we read that God created here in verse 27, that God created the man in his own image. The word here for image is shadow or shadow. And also, the word likeness is a repetition, a different form of that word shadow or shadow. So in the image of God, he created him. And here, you know, we have a very, very powerful understanding of the origin of man. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Now, as we go on, God tells us something very important here about the creation of the female. And the word for female here is a feminine noun, which is very interesting because it means to hollow out or excavate, to bore a hole, perforate, as it were. And so the male and the female are complementary to one another. We have man singular, but we have male and female that are given in the plural. Or we see that man is both male and female as designed by God. And so we have the complementary qualities of the male and female. And so we have a very intense picture of who the man with the womb are before God, and hence the shortened form woman, the shortened form for womb man or man with the womb. Chapter 2 uses another Hebrew verb, yasar, which means to fashion or to shape. It means it is the activity of the potter who shapes clay into a desired form. In chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 18, one reads, the Lord God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Now the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the beasts of the field and all the birds of the air. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. And so that's for another study to enter into later, but it's very powerful verses. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds of the air, and all the beasts of the field. Excuse me. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found for him, or was found. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and we'll address that shortly, and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. I'd like to draw your attention to the word helper here. But for Adam, no suitable helper was found. Very interesting word, the word helper, a czar. It means to surround. One who surrounds his heart. One who is given to protect the heart of the Adam. So look what God does for the Adam in verse 21. God puts him to sleep, and so here, after God causes the man to fall into a deep sleep, God performs surgery, and God takes the original Hebrew doesn't read that God took a rib. It tells us that God took a tissue sample from the man, and a sample with identical racial and genetic properties from which God was able to do what? God was able to create or to build a woman from a tissue sample. And indeed, the word that is used for the creation of the woman is yasar, which means God built. She was made finer and more sensitive than the man. Her construction was very purposeful, very ingenious, very detailed in order to be the companion of the Adam, to be complementary to him. And as some have said, God did not take bone tissue from his head so that she would rule over him. God did not take tissue from the man's feet or so that he would rule over her. God took a tissue sample from his side so as to be near his heart, the place of tenderness and protection. This was God's design. And so we don't know if God uses any type of anesthesia, but here we have God performing the first surgery, as it were, taking a tissue sample, and from that tissue sample, God puts together a culture, and in his own culture medium, God is able to build up what no lab heretofore has been able to do. God has done this. I had a friend a long time ago who was a university professor, a PhD in biochemistry. They were trying to grow asparagus cells, and he was telling me about how that work was going and how complex that was. And so, and I think about what God has done here, and this is indeed amazing passage. If we don't relegate it to myth or or say, you know, this is merely a religious story, which it is not. Which it is not. It is a very powerful creation account with regard to the Adam and the building up or the building of the woman. Then God performs the first marriage ceremony in verse 22. Then the Lord God made a woman, or built a woman, from the tissue sample he had taken out of the man. Notice the language, out of the Adam. Now, the first woman was taken out of the Adam, but today it is the womb man, or the man with the womb, from whom children emerge. And so we're dealing with the original pair, the original couple, as it were. And there are some studies, particularly in the area of blood group studies, that have postulated what they call a theoretical Eve. They have been able to trace human origins back to a theoretical, what they term a theoretical single, and which is not a radical idea at all. When one thinks about the case of Henrietta Mears in the 50s, and the fact that from this black woman, much of the research that has to do with cancer has been conducted because of her cells, which keep proliferating and growing and are available to labs all over the world in order for cancer study. So this is not far-fetched at all. Verse 23, the man said, "This is now bone of my bones." Listen to the language. "This is now bone of my bones," or literally says, "This is the hit, this is the stroke," in the Hebrew. "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." Indeed, in reality, yes, she was. "She shall be called womb man, for she was taken out of man." And that, so now we have that repeated again in the statement of the Adam. In the intense excitement, he has one who's there for him emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, physically. This with whom to have intimacy. So this is very, very powerful. And we go on, verse 24, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and his mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt and..." Here in verse 24, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united." And the word there means to be joined as glue, to be joined as glue to his wife. "And they will become one flesh." So the Adam enters into his wife's body physically, and indeed, they would have intercourse face to face, which is very profound, and indicative of the type of intimacy that was divinely designed for their relationship. And nakedness in verse 25 to indicate the transparency of the Adam and his wife, the transparency that is to exist between them, that they have nothing to hide. Skin to skin, heart to heart, face to face, eye to eye, they share this intimate communication with one another through none verbally, through stroking, through touching, through osculating, that is, through kissing, through stroking, through kind words, through kind actions, through the holding of hands, through the caressing of hair. These are all the blessing of God. This is God's blessing to humanity. This type of rich connectedness to another of one's kind, and yet to another who is intimately like oneself. This is what needs to be reintroduced into the mentality, indeed into the very heart of our culture today. It is interesting to me that there have been so many shows in the past and in movies showing males being kicked in the private parts, or the bumbling, idiotic father image. We will get into these things later, but these things have contributed to the disintegration of culture in very powerful ways. We need to find our basis of reality in the Word of God, because homes are being rapidly destroyed us under for lack of transparency. The technology has created a hiddenness in family. Persons hook up, those from the past with whom one does not need to hook up, and some of these social media, I'm not going to blame the social media, but it is interesting the amount of marriages and relationships that have been ruined over people trying to hook up with someone in the past, and they have had and they have what they need in the present. What is it? What is going on in the house that makes people want to find out about the past and what it holds for them, when it seems that they have a worthwhile life in the present? What is it? What's going on? We want to look at this in great detail. And we want to indeed talk about what it takes to conquer the passionate temptation to cheat in one's relationship. What will make a person unlock the password to his heart, not his cell phone or her cell phone? What would it take these days to unlock the password to one's heart? Or is that so deeply hidden even from the individual that he or she would not know? Because mentality has been built around passwords, secret lies, hiddenness, secretiveness. Even when we're with someone, purportedly we say we love, but our actions betray that. We need to get back to God. We need to have balance in our lives restored through the medium of the Word of God. My name is Dr. Cyrich. I will speak with you next time on United Call. Have a great day.